Next up on the show today, we have Green Party co-leader Materia Ture. Are you there, Materia?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm just trying to take you off. There we go. Okay. Come here.
Kia ora. How are you this week?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. So I guess the first thing that we wanted to talk about today is recently the Green Party released your initial election list. That's very exciting.
Yes. So this is the initial list. It's voted on by a whole range of people, delegates to a conference, our various party organisations and the candidates. And that list now goes out to all of our members very shortly with their own voting papers. And they'll have a chance to vote, which may change the list or may not, depending on what they too think about our candidates. But the list, initial list is I think, really showed a real commitment to both experience and to new people. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And why was the decision made to make the initial party list public before it was voted on by party members?
Oh, we've done that before. Quite a few elections ago, it was leaked, and so it just was like, well, what's the point of if it's going to be leaked? We might as well just, let people know about it openly. So we released it at the same time that it was sent to to the candidates themselves so that they could see the full list. And that's just a way of making sure that everybody's really open and transparent about it.
Great. And just to get into a few of the specifics of it, there's a few new faces, like you mentioned, on the top 15 of the list. There's Jack McDonald, Chloe Swarbrick, John Hart and Golrez Gamaran. But in the top 10, Jack McDonald is the only newcomer. Does that worry you at all with the large amount of Green Party's base coming from young people?
No, not at all. I mean, I think there's been, it's really exciting having Jack and Chloe and John and the other new ones really high on the list, actually, in electable places. We've also got to remember that in the top 10, there are two MPs, one of whom has only been here for 6 months, and one who's only been here 2 years, Marama and Barry. So those two are, they are very new to parliamentary politics. And they've been moved up the list by the party so far. We've also had some quite big changes and movements for some of the other existing MPs as well. So what you have in that top 10 is actually three people who have either no or less than terms worth of parliamentary experience, three out of the seven, and a dominance of women who from a really broad set of backgrounds, but also who are really experienced in politics and parliamentary politics. And that's really important. You don't just get rid of everybody who knows, who's got experience. You have to have the right mix. And I think the party has done a really good job so far of getting that right mix in the top 10. In the top 21, seven are Māori. So we have significantly increased our Māori representation. And again, in the top 20, it's quite woman-heavy, quite dominant, which is really great. Just shows that the party is still really committed to experience, to having fresh ideas, and to diversity, which is good. It's all good.
Yeah, for sure. And I know two of those women are Julianne Genta and Marama Davidson, who you mentioned as well. They both made quite a jump in their rankings. Why these two women specifically?
Well, I mean, I think we'd have to ask the party. I think that they've both performed exceptionally well. Marama Davidson hit the ground running when she came in after Russell Norman left. She also had a very strong following from her activist work. Julianne Jen has been such a specialist and so outspoken about the major issues. She was our finance spokesperson for a year or so, the first woman for a long time who was in that role, and did an amazing job. So we've also had Jan Logie and Mojo Mathers have both also jumped up the list, and both of them have exceptional qualities in working with their constituencies, particularly around, for Jan, women dealing with domestic violence issues, and Mojo, of course, with her representation and advocacy for those with disabilities. So, the party has clearly looked at them all and decided that their work has been exceptional and wanted to acknowledge and reward that. I should say that the way the list is voting system works, it's easy to vote people up, But it's very difficult to vote people down. It's a quirk of the system we use. So we should definitely see it as people being supported and their work being acknowledged, and that is why they've been moving up the list like they have.
Great. And I guess one that went the other way, the one sitting MP that didn't make that top 15 cut, is David Clendon. How do you think that that would affect the party?
Well, I mean, you know, David has a huge amount of experience, but he's also been our muster for the last term. And this is what happens when the muster's work is basically your 2IC to your leaders. I mean, they are, but they play a backroom political role, and a lot of the negotiations that happen and the management of the caucus in the House and all of this that doesn't get seen by the public is done by your muster or by your whip. And so it is actually a role that tends to reduce your public faith, and that can always have a negative impact. But as I say, it's not about people being voted. This system doesn't make it, the system makes it very difficult to vote people down. It's just that other people were supported and voted up. It's just the way it works.
And Aucklanders are also kind of minimally represented, with only 3 in the top 10, just comparatively with the amount of the party's base that is situated in Auckland. How do you feel that that will fare with voters?
So we've got, I think if you look at the, we've got really good Auckland representation actually across the top 20, and I think that's really important. So Barry, Marama, Julian, all in the top 10, and all voted up from their previous list placings. I think that's a good signal. And then we have a whole bundle more in the next 10 down, all within electable positions. I mean, I think that actually, if you're looking at this list with the eye to the election, it will be an exceptional list if we get a bit more party vote than we've got now. I mean, we only need 12% to really make a big difference and to increase our numbers. And that's only a small jump from what we've got at the moment, around 11.
And just lastly, before we move on to the next topic, when will this list be finalised?
Not for another month and a half, so... the voting papers go out to our members soon. They need time to look at all the information and make their decisions, and then we need to process it. And so we'll be releasing it probably end of May, something like that, but no firm date yet until we've got all the information and it's all done.
Alrighty, and then the next thing that we wanted to talk about was obviously over the weekend the US launched airstrikes in Syria. What is the Green Party's position on that?
We don't... condone at all the airstrikes by the US. You don't protect people's lives by killing more people. It was a completely inappropriate act by the US, and contrary to the current negotiations that are going on there to try to resolve the conflict, but also potentially in conflict with international law. So it's kind of classic reactive Trump decision making, with very little thought to what the impact of it will be on the rest, on what's going on in Syria. And I think that's been really damaging, actually.
And the comment has been made that this was kind of Trump's first action that's really made him president. What are your thoughts on that kind of statement?
Well, I agree with the criticism that, if going to war is presidential, then it makes the whole concept of being presidential quite a dirty one. I mean, that is not what the definition or criteria for presidential act should be. Killing people is not presidential, in my view. It is a disgraceful thing to do. So there's been a lot of criticism of the act, and I think that that's right. And I think that that will continue. The issue, the other part of the issue, is that this strike by the US is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to make any difference to the Assad regime. It's not going to help with any of the international negotiations that are going on. It makes no difference at all. It just makes Trump feel better. And that is there are reports of civilians having been killed by those missiles. If Trump feels better because more people have died, I think that's pretty gross.
And obviously this has escalated tensions between the US and Syria, and then Russia. I know Trump forewarned Putin about these strikes, and China's involved too. How does Aotearoa fit into these kind of international politics that are going on?
Well, loosely at the moment. I mean, I know that Bill English has not ruled out responding to a US request for assistance. I mean, we would be absolutely opposed to New Zealand being involved in such a thing. Big issue between the US and Russia, by all accounts, this will not have a huge impact on what is an increasingly close relationship between the US and Russia. I mean, there are bigger political issues being played out through this conflict. To a large extent, it's a proxy war, and there are many other interests involved in the Middle East. The fact is, though, that killing more people is not the solution.
Thank you so much, Matilda. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All good.
Kia ora. Alrighty, kia ora.